Thank you for joining us for the True Life Fellowship Church podcast. Here is today's message from Pastor Devon Alexander.
Open your Bibles to John chapter 10 and meet me at verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. I'm prepared to bring the word of the Lord to you today that I believe will change your life forever. I believe this word today is going to place a marker in your life that can never be erased. It's on the screen now, John 10, 10. I want you to read it with me. Open up your vocal cords and read this with me. Ready? Read. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? Say it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. More abundantly. And so your Bible should probably fall to this passage of scripture because we've been here over the last several weeks and months. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. That means through the salvation process, everything that we need and desire has already been given to us through Christ Jesus. You are not lacking in any area of your life. Jesus has given unto you everything you need, including health, including prosperity, including a mindset, including wisdom, understanding, joy, peace, etc. Jesus has already given it to you. The Amplified Bible says that he wants us to experience life to the full, till it overflows. And so it is the will of God that we experience the good life, the fulfilling life, a life filled with purpose, a life filled with wisdom, a life filled with direction, a life on a mission. Jesus wants us to have it, and he's already came and he's given it to us. On the contrary, the enemy has a plan as well. And the enemy's plan is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the enemy is called a thief. And what a thief will do is a thief will try to take from you when you don't expect him. He's going to do it secretly. He's going to be cunning. He's going to be crafty to take from you without you even realizing that something has been stolen from you. It's interesting, Jesus doesn't call him a robber who walks up on you and bops you over the head and takes your valuables. No, he's a thief. He's going to do it, and you're not going to even know that he's doing it. And so this thief is trying to take from you what Jesus has already given you. So I want you to understand, Jesus has given you divine help. Through Christ Jesus, by his stripes, you were healed. Somebody say, I am healed. So Jesus has given you divine health, and the thief is trying to steal your health. So I want you to understand your position and your identity in who you are in Christ. You are not the sick trying to get healed. All right? You are the healed resisting sickness. This is where your posture is. I am not trying, Jesus, if you please do something for me. No, Jesus, you've already done it. Satan, get your hands off me. Satan, you can't touch me. Satan, you can't have what's rightfully mine. I rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus. So you're going to have to get a posture of defense. You're not in a posture of I'm trying to get something. You're in a posture of I am stopping the thief from trying to steal it from me. It's like where money is concerned. You're not the broke and busted trying to get some money in your pocket. No, you have the blessing in operation in your life. God has given you all things to richly enjoy, and the thief is trying to steal it from you. He's trying to take it from you, and he's trying to harm you. And so we got to understand the plan of God is to give you life and life more abundantly, and he's done that through the salvation process. The plan of the thief is to steal without you even knowing, taken without your permission, to kill your dreams, your vision, your goals. He wants you to sacrifice all of that and to destroy, to cause you to no longer be able to be put back together again. He wants to destroy your relationships, destroy your mind, destroy your life so that you can never come back together again. This is the role of the thief, and he's a terrorist. This is what he wants to do. You cannot negotiate with him. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has given us life and life more abundantly. And you and I are going to have to recognize that we have valuables and the thief is trying to take it. So you're going to have to be alert to understand that the reason why someone made you upset in the traffic and get you bent out of shape, it's the thief trying to take from you in that moment. Take your joy, take your peace. The reason why things happen and you don't know why they're happening, it's the thief trying to take from you. And I need to say this as well. Anything that deals with stealing, killing, and destruction, we need to attribute that to the thief. Somehow we've been brainwashed to attribute everything that happens on the earth to God. Somehow your dog got run over by the UPS truck and we say God did that. That was the plan of God. That wasn't the plan of God. Did the dog die? Was he killed? Yes, the thief did that. Anything on earth, just factor it in through that equation. Is it stealing? Is it killing? Is it destroying? It is. It's the thief. Is it life and life more abundantly? Oh, it is. That's Jesus. So we can determine who and what is behind everything that happens on the earth. If people could get just what I said, they would understand and embrace God even more. I have to tell this story. I hear it in my heart, and I'll share this with you. This was many, many years ago. A girl that I went to high school with reached out to me on Facebook, and Zaven and her son were the same age at the time, about 9 months, and born in the same month. And she reached out to me. I hadn't talked to her in years, but you know, you can see people on Facebook. She reached out to me, and her son died, never woke up. And she was telling me all this in Messenger, and I'm literally behind the keyboard crying because my son was the same age and that sort of thing. And I'm crying listening to the story she's telling me, you know, as I'm reading the story she's telling me on Facebook. And she really went on with, I'm mad at God. I'm mad. And she, you know, went to church, that sort of thing. I'm not going back to church. I'm not getting involved in anything anymore. I'm really upset. I'm hurt. And I wrote her back a long message, and I told her what I just told you guys, that there is a thief and there is God. And I began to explain to her that God wants to comfort her during this time. She sent me a few years later, she sent me a message back in Messenger. She says, I want to thank you for that conversation you had with me several years ago, because we're pregnant, we're back in church, we're serving the Lord, we stayed married, and I understand that it was the devil and it wasn't God. When we preach a message that God is behind that, why would someone want to go to heaven and be with God if he's behind that? When we preach a message that God killed your baby and God is behind this or that, why would you want to spend any time with God? God is good. And there is a thief. There is a devil. And our posture is a posture of resistance. This is why every day I pray over my children. I pray over your children too. As we're going to school and as we're going out and about, I pray over you every single day, because I'm in a posture of resisting whatever the plan that the devil has for us. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You got to be in a resistance posture. You are in a war. And the thief is trying to steal from you and kill and destroy, and you can't just be, you know, like Gomer Powell, just kind of walking around. You're going to have to man up, woman up, and say, I'm in a fight, and I'm not going to let the thief steal from me. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, Ephesians chapter 6, let's look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, meet me at verse 10, and we'll read through to verse 12. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Don't be weak, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood or humanity, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, I want you to notice verse 11. Verse 11 tells us that we're to put on the whole armor of God, and we may talk about that later, not just part of the armor, but the entire armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That word wiles is the word scams, schemes, strategies, tactics, tricks, and cons of the devil. And so the devil is a thief, and he has strategies and tricks and tactics to steal from us, okay? And so we're to be aware of his strategies and his tricks. And if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Notice Paul is telling us here that Satan will try to take advantage of us, but we are not ignorant of his devices, or we are aware of his tactics, his schemes, his strategies, and his cons. And over the last several weeks, I've been talking to you guys about your money in terms of avoiding scams. I've shared with you over the last few weeks, and if you haven't been here, go to truelifefc.org and you can see the messages where we've been talking about scams, because God's promised you double restoration. Praise God. God's promised to restore and to take care of you. And so go back and listen to those messages. But I want to remind you that the FTC has said that in 2023, $10 billion have been scammed out of people. Now, that's just reported. $10 billion have been reported to be scammed out of people. And the FTC also told us that the year before, in 2022, it was $8.8 billion, meaning it's already $1.2 billion more in 2024, and 2025 is already projecting to be scammed out of more money. People will be scammed and stolen from and cheated out of more money in 2025. I want to give you some perspective. The Dallas Cowboys are the most valuable franchise, according to Forbes, and they're worth $9 billion. So more scams has taken place in 1 year than the Cowboys are even worth. And the target audience of the people that are being scammed are those that are under 60 years old. If you are under 60, you are their target audience. Now, if you are over 60, more money, you're more likely to be scammed out of more money if you're over 60. But if you're under 60, you're more likely to be scammed. Smaller denominations, but who wants to lose money anyway, right? And so as we've been talking about these scams, the Lord's been talking to me about the devil being behind these scams. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Matter of fact, we don't even know who these people are. A lot of these scams and cons are happening on the internet, on the computer, and we don't know who they are. There's no face to them. We're just trusting what we see across the computer. And most people will tell you that they cannot be scammed. I'm too smart to be scammed. You cannot scam me. And we'll talk to the people that have had $10 billion scammed from. They thought they were smart as well. So we're going to have to be aware, and we're going to have to notice that people are trying to take our money. All right. And the way they're doing it is they want you to trust them. Now, Robert, you're going to have to follow me because I've got to come down. I got to get closer to people when I talk about this. Because people want you to trust them. Money is transferred through trust. Let me say it again. The only way money is transferred is only through trust. We trust someone, and so we transfer our money to them. If you trust, you trust me, right? So you're giving to the Lord, and so you are transferring your money because you trust me. The same way, when I give, I am trusting of who I'm giving to. When I pay a bill online and I'm not going to give them no plug at all. I bank with a bank, no plug. I bank with a bank and I go online and I trust that they're going to send out the bill pay, right? Money is transferred through trust. These scam artists know that too. So they know that the way they can get money from you is to get you to trust them. And so they'll impersonate someone you may know. I got caught up in that. They'll impersonate someone you may know. They'll also begin to pop up on Apple screen. They'll send you a text. it's coming like it's coming from your bank. You've ordered a bunch of Amazon packages and they'll say, hey, click this link right here because your package is late, when it's not. And Amazon's never late, by the way, but don't believe any of that. Well, I guess they've been late before, but nevertheless, they'll try to get you to click on it. So because they know that if they can impersonate someone you trust, you will transfer your money to them. That's the way God designed it, though, right? We are to trust, and we are to be a blessing and to give and to transfer our assets. If you ever want to help people, you're going to have to factor in that they may take advantage of you. Just factor that in. Stacy and I have helped so many people, and we come to find out that they have taken advantage of us. It was a lie. Their story was a lie. We've been scammed out of it. They didn't tell us the full truth. We got to just factor it in. I want to be kind. So factor it in. So when I do that kind of stuff and I want to be kind, I just tell the Lord, well, Lord, I endeavored to be kind. They took advantage of it. You know, I know you're going to take care of me. But I don't want to be scammed. You know, I don't want somebody on the computer lying to me and telling me they're somebody when they're not. I don't want somebody telling us they're here to help, but they're not. And the other thing is they will play the long game. They're not always quick. They'll talk to you for the long game. 6-8 months, they'll keep talking to you until they can get everything you got out of your pocket and not think twice about it. I don't want to be scamming. The Lord's been talking to me, and I've been talking to other pastors, I've been talking to you about it, and I'm getting a lot of phone calls of people telling me, Pastor, I've been scammed in this area. I've been scammed in that area. And the way we are getting scammed in these areas is we are too trusting. Well, they just mean well. No, they don't. Trust, what I think Ronald Reagan said this. Trust but verify. Hey, that's good. Hey, I need to verify you. I got a text the other day saying I owed some money on the toll. It's like, that's impossible. How can I owe money on the toll when my card is set up to charge it every time? So I went to their website, and on the website, it said, do not trust any texts that say, you know, this is how they get you. They get you. So go to the place first. You get a call, and they say, hey, I'm from your bank, and we've got a discrepancy here. Hang up the phone and call the bank. And the bank say, no, that wasn't us, right? Listen. Don't verify everybody right now, because there's been an assault that has gone out against the earth, and I believe particularly the body of Christ, to take our money. I mean, if the devil can take the money that you have, you can't support the gospel. You can't do it if somebody's able to wipe out your entire savings account. He wants to do this, so you can't give to every good work. So we're going to have to be aware of these things. We're going to have to verify. I don't care if people get mad at you and you verify them, then let them get mad. But I have to verify you. I don't know who you are. I don't see you. Matter of fact, my new stance is I don't send money to anybody that I don't know. So if I don't know you, I'm not sending any money to you. And I need to say this. I said it last week, and I need to say it again. If you ever look on social media or get a text from me that says, Pastor Devon needs money right now, it's not me, because I'll never do that. Okay? Never. So Facebook, and somebody is impersonating me if it says, send Pastor Devon $25 right now, that's not me. Okay? So don't even trust it. Pick up the phone and call me, and I'll tell you that's not me. Okay? I don't care if it's your mama. Call mama. Mama, did you send me this text? No, I didn't. There was just a lady I just listened to recently. She got a call from someone that sounded exactly like her daughter, saying she'd been kidnapped, and they need $50,000 or something. And she doesn't know why she's talking. Come to find out, they ended up. Another friend was around, called the daughter, and the daughter's like, I'm at home. What are you talking about? And they had to verify the real daughter, because they thought that was so believable, because it was the same voice. Now, that's not common, but it's possible. All right? So you get a call, it's It's your son. I need money. No, hold up. Let me hang up on you. Let me call my son. Okay? We're going to have to operate in this type of posture because there has been scams and theft and trickery and deception taking place that is taking money out of our pocket. And I want to share this with you in Joshua chapter 9. And I'm going to do something different. Turn there. Joshua chapter 9. I'm going to actually spend some time in this passage of scripture today. So I want y'all to follow along with me. We're going to start in verse 1. Joshua chapter 9 and verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings who were on his side of the Jordan in the hills and in the lowland and in all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Y'all didn't know I could speak that well, huh? They heard about it. All right. So let me back up here real quick before we go to verse 2. Joshua is a wartime leader. All right. Moses delivered the people out of Egypt. Now Joshua's in charge and his command is to overtake everything in their vicinity. He is taking over and getting the land that God has promised the people. Okay. So he's a wartime leader. Verse 2, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. So these people want to fight with Joshua now because they're scared. But when the inhabitants, watch this, of Gibeon heard about what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. Now watch this. They worked craftily and pretended. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. We have come from a far country. Joshua's command was to overtake every country that was near them. These people say they came from a far country. Look at verse 7. Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you? So here's the first question. They're trying to verify. Perhaps you live among us. How can we make a covenant with you? Watch this. Verse 8, but they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you? Where do you come from? So Joshua is trying to verify these pretenders. They're asking questions. Who are you? Where are you from? So they said, from a very far country, your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings and Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Shihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, and to Ashtaroth. Therefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions with you for the journey and go meet with them and say to them, we are your servants. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. Look at verse 12. This bread of ours we took hot for our provision and from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. But now look, it is dry and moldy. And these wineskins which were filled with were new, and see, they are torn. And these our garments and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey. Look at verse 14. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not seek counsel of the Lord. I'm going to pause there for a second. These scam artists, pretenders, said they came from afar, but they didn't. They impersonated people that had traveled from afar, but they didn't. They had pretended to have old bread and pretended to have clothes and were pretending to come from afar, but they didn't. And the people took their story. But this is what I want you to see. Go back to verse 14. They took their story, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. Look at verse 15. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the rulers of the congregation swore to them. And it happened at the end of 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. Then the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities was Gibeon, so on and so forth. Look at verse 18. But the children of Israel did not attack them because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation complained against the rulers. Look at verse 19. Then all the rulers said to the congregation, we have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore, we may not touch them. Skip down to verse 22. Then Joshua called for them, and he spoke to them, saying, why have you deceived us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell near us? And look at verse 23. Now therefore you are cursed. Now I want to pause there, and I'll wrap the story up with, essentially, they could not harm these people because they made a covenant with these people not to hurt them. But I want you to notice here that these people scammed Joshua. This is a man of God. This man meets with the Lord, and he got scammed. And I like how the next, in that verse, in verse 22, it says, and he cursed them. I told y'all about the story last week when I got caught up in something. I cursed that person too. I didn't say any cuss words, but I cursed them. Joshua cursed them when he got scammed, but he couldn't do no harm because he made covenant with them. The man of God got scammed. And why did he get scammed? The answer is found in verse 14. Put it back on the screen, guys, if you don't mind. Joshua 9 and verse 14. The man of God got scammed. Why did he get scammed? Huh? Because he did not ask counsel of the Lord. He did not ask counsel of the Lord. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. And let's look at verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We'll look through verse 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We're living in the day and age, church, that we are going to have to inquire of the Lord if we are going to, before we make any decision, before you act, inquire of the Lord. Listen to me now, because this will keep us safe. We see the mighty Joshua got scammed. But before you act, you're going to have to ask God. Before you make any type of transaction, pause and say, I'm going to have to ask the Lord. I know it may feel good. I know it may feel right. I know it may feel like this is perfect. You're going to have to pause, and you're going to have to ask the Lord. You're going to have to inquire of the Lord. Lord, is this what I should do? There was a scam going on back in the 80s, and was actually happening in the churches. I was young, but I was talking to someone earlier this week about it. And this scam was going on that if you give this money to this, it was going to build this and that. And these people were going to be able to be taken care of. And nurses and doctors are going to be paid for. And it's going to be here and there. And the scam was a big scam. And a lot of wealthy people in the church, even ministers, got involved in this scam. And this one particular minister, I heard him tell his story. He said he was going to meet with the people because everybody was getting involved. And they're like, you got to get involved. We're going to help a lot of people, so on and so forth. And he went to go meet with the people. And on the way to meet with them, he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, I haven't heard you say anything about this. And the Lord said, there's a reason why I ain't said nothing about this. And he said he took that to heart. Well, if the Lord's not saying anything about it, then I don't need to be involved in it. And so he ended up going to meet with them, and he started asking questions. See, Joshua started asking questions. Who are you? But then he just kind of went with it. Why did he just keep going with it? Because he never asked the Lord. He started out, never asked the Lord, and just went with it. He said, when the Lord said, I ain't said nothing about that. That's why I ain't talking to you about it, because I ain't got nothing to say about it, essentially along those lines. He said he started asking them questions now, because he said the Lord didn't give him no word on this. So he started asking them questions. Lo and behold, they couldn't answer. And then they finally said, maybe you're not you know, supposed to be a part of this. Well, thank God he wasn't a part of it, because it ended up being a huge scam and millions of dollars were taken from people because of this scam. See, if we're going to avoid the strategies of the enemy, the tactics, and he is a con artist and he's very good at what he does, you alone cannot beat the devil. You and Jesus can, but you by yourself can't, okay? And he's very good. You have to inquire of the Lord. And so we see here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord. That means I'm going to rely and completely depend upon the Lord. I'm going to believe that he loves me. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Watch this. With all my heart, the core of my being, everything that I have, I'm going to trust God in with everything I've got. And then this is the part that I want you to hear. The next part says, and lean not to your own understanding. That means don't depend on yourself. Don't depend on your intellect. Don't depend on your experience. It's good to have it. Don't depend on what Pookie and Ray Ray is saying. That's good. Don't depend on your own understanding. So I'm going to have to depend on God's love and not depend on my own understanding. Watch this in the next verse. It says, in all my ways, I got to acknowledge him. I'm going to have to inquire of him. I'm going to have to ask him in all my ways. One translation says, in all of your days. You could say it this way, in every detail of life, acknowledge him. Ask him. Inquire of him. Seek him. Lord, should I be involved in that? Lord, should I trust that? When I got caught up, and I'm full disclosure, when I got caught up in that mess I got caught up in, I was too eager. It looked and sounded good. Wayne, it did, bro. It was like, this is good. I could purchase this. This is a great price. This will help my family. This is good. I was eager. And then I was trusting because the person came verified. Someone vouched for him. This is a good person. I never inquired of the Lord, bro. I never did. I said, this is a good deal. The Lord has brought a deal to me, and I need to be involved in this. If I'd have stopped and just inquired of the Lord, Lord, should I be involved in this? The Lord has said, no. We move too fast. We're moving too fast. Pause. And if someone tells you, we don't have time, then the answer is no. Okay? Because you're not going to push me or pressure me to do something. And a lot of these con artists, when they get you on the hook, they try to pressure you. Now, we need it now. We need it now. We need it now. Make a decision now, now, now. Then no. No, I need to inquire of the Lord. It says, I'm not going to depend on my intellect or my own understanding. I'm going to inquire on the Lord all my days, in every detail of life, in every way that I go. I'm going to ask God, should I be involved in this? And if it takes God 2 days to answer, so be it. So be it. It just took that long to answer. And then the last part of that verse says, and he shall direct your paths. So what do I have to do? I got to depend on him, rely on his love. I can't rely on my own understanding. I'm going to have to inquire of him. And then once we inquire of him, he is going to direct us. He is going to lead us. One translation says, or this is the Devon translation. Ready? He is going to set the course for your life. He'll set the course. He shall direct your path. He'll set the course. He'll tell you what to do and what not to do. He'll tell you what to be involved in and what not to be involved in. He's going to direct your path. And so in order for us to avoid being scammed, I'm titling this message, Before You Act. Is this too simple for us, or is this okay? It's all right? Before you, I didn't hear y'all back there. Is this okay over there? Okay, all right, here we go. Before you act, inquire of the Lord. So simple, but Joshua got caught up, could not get rid of, he could not partake of that portion of land because he made a decision before he asked God, and he had to spare those people because of the covenant that they made. Before you act, ask God. Ask God, should I be involved? Should I be should I say yes to this? Should I transfer this money? Should I trust them or not? Ask God. Don't be too eager. And don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. We all make mistakes. That's why last week we talked about God's going to give us double honor, double restoration for our shame and our mistakes. We all make mistakes. Don't be ashamed of it at all. Just learn from it that the next time I'm not going to do anything, even if it looks good, even if it feels good, I'm going to ask God about it. Say this after me. I will inquire of the Lord. Go to second on the screen, 2 Chronicles 26 and 5. 2 Chronicles 26 and 5. Watch this. It says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he continued to seek the Lord, he continued to prosper. We cannot get away from seeking the Lord. We are never going to get to the place where we have outgrown seeking the Lord. We're never going to just get to the place where we've evolved. I've evolved. I don't have to seek the Lord anymore. We'll never be there. If you get there, then you are full of pride. That's the first sign that you are full of pride, that you don't need the Lord. I need to seek the Lord because the enemy is crafty and the enemy is tricky. And the enemy wants me to do something that I am not supposed to do. So I'm going to have to seek the Lord. I sense this in my heart. We're going to have to seek him where relationships are concerned. Lord, should I be spending time with this person? Should I marry this person? Should I be dating them? And if you see red flags at the beginning, never ignore red flags. Never ignore a red flag. Let me say it again, because I don't think y'all heard me. Never ignore a red flag. You see it at the beginning. There are times now, I ask the Lord, you know, some people want to hang out with me or you know, befriend. Lord, is this something that will benefit my life? And can I benefit their life? And a lot of times, the Lord will say, that ain't it. That's a time waster. And how many know we don't have time to waste? And so I inquire of the Lord, and I'm endeavoring to do it every single time. Every single time. Lord, is this something I should be a part of? And then wait to hear his answer. If we do that, put it back on the screen, guys, if you don't mind, 2 Corinthians 26, 5. If we do that, as long as he sought the Lord, as long as I seek the Lord, God made Devon prosper. I want to prosper. So I just got to continue to seek the Lord, and I will prosper. Say this after me. Matter of fact, stand to your feet. Say this after me. As long as I seek the Lord,
as long as I seek the Lord,
I shall prosper.
I shall prosper.
This is how we experience true life.
You have been listening to the ministry of Devon Alexander, pastor of True Life Fellowship Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more information, go to our website at www.truelifefc.org. You can also support this ministry financially through our website. Thank you, and remember to love, learn, live, and lead.